Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.L. Robinson, and once again, I'd like to welcome you to When He Speaks Erotica, the podcast where I explore the intoxicating powers of love, relationships, and sex, all from my perspective. I invite you to experience the journey with me as I try to awaken your innermost thoughts. My topic for tonight is feeling the pleasure. Is an orgasm the ultimate goal of sex? Also, my question of the night. Marriage. Should I take his last name? So please, do me a favor. Go ahead and do what it is that you do. Smoke one, get you a bottle of wine, and just relax. And I'll be right back with my question of the night. Okay, so my question of the night is, getting married, should I take his last name? And I'm talking, you know, mainly to the women. For some reason, this has always been one of those topics where you had different people on different sides of the fence. Because when it comes to marriage, the big question that lingers is, How many women wonder or consider if they should take a man's name or not? Because most of the time it comes off as being automatic. Like, it's like a no-brainer. Yeah, I'm gonna take his last name. But then you got some women, and not to, you know, say anything negative or to make it seem like something's wrong with being independent, but you have some women who also want to keep their last name, their mating name, their birth name, along with the name of their husband. Now, for me, personally, I used to have a problem with it back in the day. I was dating someone, and we talked about marriage, and she came off the rip. Let me tell you, if we get married, I'm keeping my maiden name, along with your name. And I sat there, and I'm like, okay, why? And damn, I forgot the reason. But she wanted it to seem like it wasn't too. Make me feel like she was in competition, or my last name wasn't strong enough. You know, she it wasn't anything towards me. She just felt like, you know, some of her relatives did it. And I guess that was like a thing amongst the females in her family. And when she told me in so many words, she wanted to keep the tradition going. I don't know if it was the alcohol or if I was in a funky mood that day, but we argued. For one, because when she said that, I didn't want to get married again, because that kind of like gave me an indication we may have more problems along the line in this marriage. Maybe it was me being unfair. You know, probably jumping the gun or just feeling insecure. But whatever the reason was, I felt like it was best, me, not to marry that person. Because I just as I'm sitting there, and like I said, it could have been the Jack Daniels. I'm sitting there and I can see problems developing in the relationship. And then one day we're going to square off like man to man. And if you've been listening to my podcast, I do not want my woman to have any manly-like qualities or mindset. That don't do shit for me. The fuck? I don't need a woman who thinks like a man. Old school, old fashioned, whatever you want to call it. But the woman I'm with, you have to act like a woman. and let me act like a man. Now, if I fall short, then yeah. And if you, still fuck with me, then yeah, you do what you do. But my thing is, I'm not trying to fall short. I'm not trying to not be a man. So you worry about taking care of the woman's department, and I'll take care of the man's department. That's just me. But I think it's a deeply personal decision that one must, you know, be made with care. You have to really have that conversation about why you want to keep your name, or why is there a debate, you know, a discussion about if you're going to take my last name or not. Because doing so symbolizes, when you take the last name, it symbolizes a new bond as a married couple. It lets people know Mr. and Mrs. Robinson, not Mr. and Mrs. Joan Robinson, Mr. and Mrs. William Robinson. No, Mr. and Mrs. Robinson. That projects who we are as a couple. You become a part of a new family when you take the last name. And it can even mean when you have questions about taking the last name, it could be that feeling like you've given up a part of your identity to someone, which can be liberating or disconcerting, depending on how you look at it. Before making that call, consider all the angles. You know, while taking your partner's surname can create a sense of togetherness, you can still reject gender norms by using a hyphenated name to keep your maiden name. Taking your partner's last name acknowledges his family. Taking your husband's last name acknowledges his family. When getting married, taking your partner's surname is an old tradition that can symbolize a newfound unity between both of you. But it's so much more than that. You're not just adopting a new name. You're also acknowledging and celebrating your partner's family and their place in history. And I think that's one of those things that's lost now. A lot of people don't really value tradition or value the old ways of doing things. Me included. There are times when I really don't fuck with tradition. But being who I am, being a man of a certain age, sometimes tradition kind of like overtake my way of thinking. And what I mean by that, because I grew up with a traditional mindset, I may say, I don't want to do something more. That's not who I am. But slowly and surely, it finds a way to kind of like push aside what I feel now and become the thing that's important to me. I don't know. It's been like that since I've been like a little kid. You know, I've never been able to figure it out. But traditions are not honored by a lot of people no more, especially when it comes to this topic. Same last name for you and your children creates a sense of identity. Not only does it acknowledge your partner's family, it helps your child, your children, understand who they are. They're under the umbrella of the man's name, Robinson. We are Robins. Even though we are still Jones Robinson or whatever the woman's maiden name is, it's not a normal thing when you see both parents' name. Well, you see the child with both parents' names. It's either going to be the mother or the father, and if they're together, normally it's the father. You have to take a moment to consider what your last name means. Does it make you feel connected to your family or heritage? Imagine watching your children grow up knowing that both parents have the same last name. saying we are family comes with more strength when all members share the same identity. When you take your partner's last name, you're not just honoring him, you're forming that beautiful bond of unity between you and your loved ones. Taking a partner's name, last name publicly shows a sign of commitment to your spouse. Choosing to take their surname is symbolic of starting a life with them that you both are dedicated to, for better and worse. Far from holding you back, and a shared last name can help connect you with your partner in ways you might never imagine. Symbols matter. Symbols matter. And when it comes to marriage, taking your loved one's last name is a powerful, let me say this again, taking your partner's last name is a powerful way to say you are all in. You don't need to take your partner's last name. There are other ways to show your love and appreciation. Now, I'm not saying that you have to take your last name, because some people may be dead set not doing it. So for the women who just can't do it, there's nothing wrong with it. Because there's other ways that you can honor that love. Honor your husband. First, you're going to have to, you know, get him to agree. Because you may have someone who might be dead set on you taking the last name. But if you're persuasive, and if you're able to get your point across and let them know, hey, ain't nothing changed. I'm just, you know, riding with my last name. I love you the same. You're the most important man in my life. So by expressing that and showing them how important you are, they are to you, without taking their last name, is an easy thing to do. You just have to be on the same page. Don't feel like you have to take your husband's last name when you're married. In today's world, there are many creative and meaningful ways to express your love and commitment other than sharing a surname. Why not invest time in creating something special, like a personal wedding vow, love letter, or a time capsule of happy moments to make a lasting impact? Showing your commitment in those ways are a powerful symbol of connection and love, and it doesn't require taking a new last name. To wrap this up, tying the knot is a big step, and taking your partner's last name is equally important. Ultimately, the decision to take the last name or keep yours, is your decision to make. However, it's worth considering the positive effects, like strengthening the bond between partners and practical benefits of sharing a family name. The decision can be difficult, so consider carefully whatever you think is right. And on that note, I'll be right back with my topic of the night. Alright, so my topic of the night is feeling the pleasure. Is an orgasm the ultimate goal of sex? You know, sex brings pleasure and connection, but is an orgasm the ultimate goal? While some believe that the sexual climax is the ultimate goal of sex, it is important to understand that it can be a multidimensional experience beyond just physical pleasure. With pleasure comes understanding, and with understanding comes respect, appreciation, and emotional intimacy. So is the orgasm really the end-all be-all of sex, or could it be just one part of a much larger whole? Discovering the pleasure that sex can bring is an important part of your personal growth and development. In the world of sex, pleasure is the spectrum that ranges from fluttery butterfly kisses to toe-curling orgasm. But have you ever stopped to ask yourself, is that orgasm really the goal that I'm trying to achieve? The answer depends on what you're looking for, and it might be something far more profound than physical pleasure. sex isn't just about getting off. It's an opportunity for a deep connection and exploration of your own body and those of another person. Sure, orgasms are amazing. I mean, they're fucking mind-blowing. But they're not necessarily what we should be striving for when it comes to ultimate moments. Sometimes simply being in the present at the moment and savoring the sensation is just enough for some people. Ultimately, there's no right answer when it comes to discovering the pleasure that sex brings. Pleasure is individual. So take the time to explore and discover what works for you. Our sexual experiences are unique, but for many people, pleasures often accumulates in orgasms. Whether we like to admit it or not, our bodies are designed to seek out pleasure and satisfaction. And what better way than through an orgasm? While the orgasm may seem like the end goal, they can also be a journey in itself. Each and every sensation that leads up to it is a part of a symphony of pleasure. From the slow building of arousal to the peak of busting that nut and the lingering after effects, orgasms provide an experience that's likely any other. For some, it can be a source of spiritual enlightenment. It's been a couple of times I felt a spiritual enlightenment, which was weird because I'm like, I'm in here, you know, getting this good love, and how come I'm on the spiritual tip? What does this say about me? Am I having some type of a moment? And I would question why I would feel like a certain spiritual energy, but I had to learn that was a connection. That was me feeling someone who, it was just more than sex. We had met on a different level. And I didn't learn that till like 30-something, 34, 35. And it's funny, I learned it when I got divorced. You know, when me and my ex-wife was, you know, going our separate ways, that's when I got introduced to a spiritual connection with her in the bedroom. I mean, we had a spiritual connection growing up and, you know, being together, but in the bedroom, it was great. But to have that spiritual connection as we going our separate ways was just weird. And as I wanted to try to, you know, get her back, she had moved on. So I lost that spiritual connection with someone I've known since the third grade. And it was just crazy how I finally found what true connection was intimately. But I would never be able to share that with that person again. I mean, I've shared it with other people, you know. But it's one of those things where everybody don't get that type of loving or that type of connection with me. You know, because I understand, you know, just getting some booty. You know what I'm saying? I understand where it's just me trying to, you know, bust off and do what I got to do and go by my way, or someone trying to just get with me and do what they got to do. I understand. But then there come those times when shit just hits you. It's like, you don't want to leave, or you don't want to, you know, you don't want to go home, or you don't want them to go home. It's kind of like wanting to continue. And not just sexually, just the connection itself. Having breakfast together, spending time together, laying in the bed and reading newspapers are pretty much obsolete now. But, you know, just back in the day, we used to read newspapers, and I would read the sports sections and, you know, the tech section, and they would read, you know, home recipes or home improvement type shit. And it just felt good. It just felt like it was supposed to be. So that connection was just always crazy. For some people, orgasms may be the goal, maybe the main goal of sex, but it's important to remember that there's no right way to experience sexual pleasure. What is the thrones of physical pleasure or the intimacy of closeness shared with a partner? There is no one right way to experience sex. Everyone is different, and finding out what brings you joy can be a journey of discovery. No matter what your preferences are, there are plenty room for exploration, experimentation, and unforgettable moments. So why not dive in and explore the depths of the pleasure that awaits you? Even if you don't reach the orgasm every time you have sex, there's still lots of pleasurable possibilities. From physical pleasure to emotional intimacy and bonding, there are a vast spectrum of sensation and emotion that comes into play. Sex is about connecting with your partner through exploring each other's body and seeking pleasure together. The journey towards climax can be thrilling, invigorating, and even spiritual, like I said a few minutes ago. And that's what makes it so savory. When done right, sex isn't a race. It's a journey packed full of pleasure. We should strive to create a judgment-free environment to explore our sexualities without worrying about reaching the ultimate goal. Now, there's no denying that orgasms are pleasurable. They're like the end game. Some people don't see it like that. There are some people who can't, pop off, who are unable to have an orgasm from sex, which is one of the weirdest things to me, because when there's two people bumping and hitting that stroke and just like connected and bodies just meshed together, that should be enough. But I think it's more like a mental block in some people's head. And it can come from, different situations. Someone probably experienced some type of trauma. Someone probably hadn't been introduced to, who hasn't let themselves go mentally to learn about orgasms or achieving orgasms. So they kind of like locked in with just being on their back or just assuming the position until someone busts off. And like I said, that's weird to me, because I used to be one of those type of dudes who'd be like, yo, you got yours? You can't? I'm like, no. I'm like, why not? I'm not doing it right. I mean, I'm nice with mine, so what's wrong? No, it's not you. It's just me. I don't have an orgasm from sex. I gotta have an orgasm from head. Well, I don't have orgasm from head. I gotta have orgasm from sex. And I'm like, what is that hang up? Why doesn't you get the same orgasm from head and being penetrated? Like, I know this one chick, she only had anal orgasm. Now, I never got with her. You know what I'm saying? I tried, but, she was with someone at a certain time and she was in love. So it wasn't like I was going to get with that. But I haven't experienced that. But I've heard that's kind of common with some women that, vaginally, they can't get off. But if you put it back there in that Duke shoot, then they're going to have multiple orgasms. And I'm sitting there like, for real? Like, you serious? But it never happened. So, there's no denying that the orgasm, like I said, is pleasurable. But is that pleasure the ultimate goal during sex? Focusing only on reaching the orgasm during sexual activity can cause frustration and disappointment, as other enjoyable aspects may be ignored. So what do we strive for instead? The truth is there's no straight answer for that. Different people have different thresholds of pleasure. And what may feel like an orgasm experience for one person may not be the same for the other. We should strive to create a judgment-free environment to explore our sexualities without worrying about reaching the ultimate goal, without coming. And that may sound strange to say that, to even hear it. But you have to, have that mindset, like, not okay, I didn't think anything was wrong with me asking why you didn't have an orgasm. I thought, you know, I was being concerned or I was being considerate. But sometimes people don't want to hear that. Sometimes people don't want you to ask them the question because sometimes they may be embarrassed. They may be like, you know what, I'm already fucked up in the head about not being able to come, and now you ask me questions, now I done lost the vibe. I done lost that feeling. Get up. Get out of me. Because you're doing more talking than screwing. And you can lose out or you can miss out on something good because you're being too fucking nosy. And that's, you know, that's sometimes that happened to me. Me thinking that I'm being considerate, but nah, you're being, what's the word? Extra or being too, you're probing someone who probably don't want to answer any question or really talk about anything when it comes to sex because they can't get the same feeling that you got. They're not screaming and falling out the bed and unable to breathe and need a glass of water. Looking for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with a glass of Kool-Aid. So to wonder what's wrong with them, maybe there's nothing wrong. That's just probably not their get down. And some people just flow like that. Some people just are unable to get off like that. So to wrap this thing up, ultimately, pleasure should be enjoyed whatever form it takes during sexual activity. While achieving an orgasm may be the pinnacle of sexual pleasure for some, that doesn't mean you should ignore all other forms of pleasure. Sex can offer various pleasurable experiences from caresses and kisses to role playing and more nasty shit. And of course, it's entirely up to each individual to find what's that pleasure zone, whether it be intense climax or something more subtle. So why not set aside your expectations? Explore new avenues of pleasure. You never know what you might discover. And on that note, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this podcast up. I want to say thank you to everyone who listens to the podcast. Good looking out. Appreciate you helping this podcast grow. I want to say thank you to Charlene for the Cash App for reaching out to me. Gave me a little bit some criticism, which I took, and you know I'm gonna apply it for future podcasts. Thank you, Charlene, and for the Cash App. And I just want to say, everybody, continue to listen to the podcast. I'm gonna do it. You know, I'm still trying to get back on the Wednesday nights, but you know, who knows? You know, I may just ride this Saturday night thing out for a while. But anything you want to talk to me about, hit me up at whenhespeakserotica@gmail.com. I'm open to any suggestions or criticism, just as long as you're respectable. Hope everybody have a good night. Continue to support the podcast, and I'll talk to you later. Peace.